Venezuela has accused Canada of backing what it calls the U.S. war adventure after Ottawa imposed new sanctions on Venezuelan officials. Venezuela's foreign ministry says Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has invalidated Canada as a reliable actor in dialogue by imposing sanctions. Canada has just added 43 more top members of President Nicolas Maduro's government to its blacklist. It has also blamed those targeted for the deterioration of the situation in the South American country. Canada had previously imposed sanctions on 70 Venezuelan officials. In recent months, several Western countries have followed the United States in imposing economic sanctions on Venezuela and as part of pressure campaign to oust Maduro from the ruling government. Meanwhile, a regional bloc, mostly Latin American countries known as Lima, has called on the foreign secretary and intelligence forces to leave Venezuela. For more on that, we're joined by Mr. Edward Corrigan, who is an international lawyer, joining us live from Ontario. Thank you very much, Mr. Corrigan. Now, Canada seems to be walking in the U.S. footsteps. Why do you think Canada has agreed to impose sanctions on members of Nicolas Maduro's government, and what is Canada seeking by doing so?
Those are some very good questions. First of all, there's an election coming up in the fall this year. The principal opposition to the governing Liberals is the Conservatives. So I think Justin Trudeau is probably trying to shore up his support on the right. The Foreign Affairs Minister of Canada is of Ukrainian ancestry and is very anti-Russian and is supporting extreme right-wing forces, even fascist forces in Ukraine. And in fact, her grandfather was an active member of the Ukrainian sort of Nazi movement. So there's a little bit, I think, of distorted views in history that is coming forward. Unfortunately, Justin is not his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau, he stood up to the United States. He never broke ties with Cuba. He not only condemned the U.S. war in Vietnam, but he allowed 60,000 draft evaders to come to the country and not be subjected to the U.S. draft. And he also maintained and opened up ties to China long before the Americans did. And in that sense, he was a door between the United States and these other countries and helped sort of work to build bridges. Justin, I think, wants some concessions from Trump, particularly on the immigration field. But Trump, I don't think, is going to change the Safe Third Country Agreement, because it would mean 40,000 people who have entered Canada from the United States to be returned to the United States. So I don't think the numbers are going to be attractive to Donald Trump. There also are a lot of issues with regard to the free trade agreement between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. There are some minor changes, but Trump is always threatening the Europeans and threatening Canada and, you know, throwing his weight around, as he doesn't seem to understand either the rule of law or even the nuances of international diplomacy. So I think there's a fair bit of pressure, but unfortunately, Justin would get a lot of support in Canada for standing up to Trump, because Trump is a very unpopular figure in this country, and we think he is rude, crude, and a bully, and not an effective representative for the United States. But there is a lot of pressure being put on Canada and some of the other allies of the United States, even though those alliances are now being severely strained because of Trump's actions and rhetoric. So I think that it's a mistake. And I think that I wish that Justin would look at his father's legacy and be prepared to stand up to the United States. In fact, even Lester B. Pearson, who was before Pierre Elliott Trudeau as the Liberal Prime Minister of Canada, he stood up to the United States. And Secretary U.S. President Lyndon B. Johnson got very mad because Pearson would not support or was very critical of the United States' involvement in Vietnam. But when you look at it historically, not only was Pearson correct, Pierre Elliott Trudeau was correct in all those points, and he received substantial support from the Canadian public. But there is a right-wing chill that is affecting North America, and Trump is giving legitimacy to ideas and actions that would have been considered unheard of before. So the playing field is being changed, and unfortunately it's a lot more darker and right-wing than has been in the past. And I think Justin Trudeau is looking to get some concessions from the United States, which is going to be very difficult, but I don't think he should be giving things until he gets something in return at minimum. But even still, I don't think Trump will honor any agreements that he makes, and he still just goes on his merry way thinking what he does, and if he thinks that it must be true and he wants to proceed. There's been secret meetings which actually were uncovered about, you know, plotting an U.S. military intervention into Venezuela. And part of the problem is the media in Canada and North America, they keep talking about Maduro as a dictator. They ignore the fact that he won over 60% of the vote in the presidency election in Venezuela. And Guerrero, who they're putting forward, as he didn't even run as a candidate. So he's got very limited support. And it's very strange that he would be calling for the army to rise up against the elected government, and calling for replacement, and also supporting, you know, the United States, which has seized billions and billions of dollars. I think the Americans ultimately, they get the oil now, they pay for it, but the trouble is the profit ends up going to building universities and hospitals and clinics and doing things like Chavez made a deal to provide oil to Cuba, and in return, Cuba provided 4,000 doctors to provide free medical care to the poor in Venezuela. So it's, you know, the Americans will get the oil, but they don't want the oil to go to benefit the people. They want to go to benefit themselves and their narrow industrial corporations who are wanting to get more and more profit. But when you take profit, it's at the expense of the Venezuelan people.
Thank you very much. I'm very sorry, Mr. Corrigan. We're running out of time, and thank you very much. Moving on.